for the opening conference of our retreat, I thought I should explain what our retreat will be all about. I am calling it a scriptural retreat, or the spiritual life in the Bible. I should begin by observing, now this will be the first retreat of this kind I've ever given. If it's surprising to you, it may also be surprising to me. In our opening conference, I would like to briefly explain what we plan to cover during the retreat. Then, why we are following this method, and most practically, how we can benefit from making a retreat, if you will, on the revealed Word of God in the Bible. What is the plan? We shall look during the retreat at what I call the master spiritual theme of the Bible. There won't be too many, approximately one each day. And then in each of the conferences during the day, we will elaborate, explain, and especially see how the teaching of sacred scripture applies to our spiritual lives. The larger themes, therefore, will have a number of subdivisions to touch on as many aspects of our spiritual lives as we can cover in a week. Why take this approach? Needless to say, there are many others we might take. And I've taught enough theology over the years to be able to speak from a variety of perspectives. But I thought we should have at least one retreat on the scriptures. Why? First of all, because sacred scripture, as we believe, is co-equal with sacred tradition as the source of divine revelation. In other words, unlike any other kind of writing, the Bible has as its principal author God Himself. And surely, we want to know what God tells us about the spiritual life. Moreover, and very practically, our spiritual life will be only as strong as our faith. And our faith is faith in God's revealed Word, found co-equally in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Every insight, every increase of understanding that we get of God's revealed biblical word strengthens and deepens our foundation for the spiritual life. When we talk, as we so often do, about deepening our faith in order to strengthen our union with God, I dare say most of us do not so often ask ourselves what deepening the faith means. Do we get deeper into the faith? Instead of 4 feet, do we get 6 feet into the faith? What do we mean? Deepening our faith principally means growing in our understanding of the faith. Of course, comprehensive understanding of God's mysteries is reserved for heaven. But on earth, we are to grow in our understanding of what we believe. And the popular expression for growing in the understanding of our faith is deepening our faith. Why then make a scriptural retreat? So we might better understand what we already believe. We keep asking why. Why should we better understand God's revealed word in the Bible? Well, I would say for the best of reasons, because we are so constantly and frequently in contact with the Bible. It is part of the Eucharistic liturgy. It is the principal content of the divine office. It is in all the spiritual masters of the church. The Bible is the principal object of meditation, prayerful reflection. And with emphasis, my favorite definition of contemplation is beholding the truth with love. The truth we know, who is God, became man in the person of Christ. But we shall behold this truth, who is God incarnate, only if we can look at Him and not have to keep celebrating or reasoning what as one person looks at another, whom he or she loves, you've done your analysis before you contemplate. When you contemplate, you look at what or hear whom you love. And enjoy the experience. But to have that experience, we must prepare ourselves. Hence, a retreat like this finally, and at greatest length. In his opening conference of the retreat, which we're calling a scriptural retreat, we ask ourselves how. How are we to benefit from reflecting on God's revealed word in sacred scripture in order to benefit not only in the short time of a retreat, but into our lives on earth, and in fact, into eternity. We begin by reminding ourselves that the Bible is the revealed Word of God. But God's revelation is not only to be believed with the mind. It is that, but not only that. We are to believe with our minds indeed, but we are to put into practice, first with our will, and then with our whole being. In other words, God's revealed truth in sacred scripture is not only to be grasped, or even as we are stressing, understood with the mind. It is to be lived out. And as we know, and we shall see at some length during the next week, lived out often at great cost to ourselves. I would like to make certain practical recommendations on how to benefit from reflecting on God's revealed word in the Bible so that our spiritual life will be deepened. I would recommend during the retreat and afterwards to honestly try with God's grace to understand the meaning of whatever we read or whatever we hear, whatever we reflect or meditate on in sacred scripture. The first hope that I have as the fruit of this retreat is that until the Lord calls us into that eternity for which we were made, we shall never merely hear sacred scripture or read sacred scripture, but that we try to understand. As often as we've used the verb to understand, I dare say most of us have seldom, if ever, asked ourselves, what do we do when we understand? We stand under that which our mind accepts and make that which we stand under or understand as the principle and foundation of our lives. Let us try never to be satisfied with merely the words that we hear or read, but try as much as we can to penetrate into their revealed, inspired meaning. All I can tell you is that your spiritual life will change drastically for the better as you honestly try to get beyond the surface of the words of sacred scripture and strive to penetrate into what God is telling you. Second recommendation. I hope that as a result of this retreat, we will all know better where to find what we need, when we need certain graces from God to enlighten us about His will. I hope I'll be clear. Our daily prayer over the years has been, and I dare say will be, asking God, Lord, help me. When we are asking God for His help, what are we mainly requesting? You may be surprised. The principal help we seek is not strength for the will, though God knows we need it. The principal help we need is light for the mind. And where can we find this light for the mind? Mainly in God's revealed word, in sacred scripture. Whatever else will be the fruit of this retreat, how I hope, how sincerely I hope, you will start using the Bible in a way that perhaps you had never quite used it before, to find there, in God's revealed word, the light you need to know God's will and how to do it. Some of the most saintly souls that I have dealt with as a priest have been those who have found in sacred scripture an exhaustless treasury of divine grace, enlightening us as only God, who is the author of the Bible, can teach us. It is no coincidence, believe me, it is not chance. It is part of God's eternal providence that our eyes light on this passage, or that we hear these words at just this time, when we have this need, and how much the Lord can teach us, if only we know that a single principal source of divine light is God revealed to in sacred scripture. May I therefore suggest, I recommend getting into the habit of using sacred scriptures as our daily source of inspiration. St. Thomas Aquinas does not hesitate speaking of sacred scripture as a kind of eighth sacrament. You know what the essence of a sacrament is? A sacrament is that which confers, by its very use, the grace which then becomes the specific grace that God intends to confer by the administration, as the expression goes, of each one of the seven sacraments. God knows exactly what He wants to teach us, provided we use, what am I saying, the sacramental revealed Word of God as our daily source of enlightenment for the mind and of inspiration for the will. Fourth recommendation. I may have made this to you before, but important things are worth repeating. I strongly recommend, as one of the results of this retreat, indeed, may I begin to make some resolutions for you, that you decide to memorize certain parts of the Old and New Testament. And I would like to thank the Holy Spirit would be especially pleased if you even resolved on what parts of the Bible you will memorize. Over the years, one of my favorite Lenten mortifications, memorizing long parts of the Bible. Fifth recommendation, pray the Scriptures. What am I saying? Use the Scriptures, and you don't always have to have the text in front of you. In fact, my dear friends, until the late 15th century, before movable type was discovered, people just did not have a copy of the Bible, family Bible, on the shelf. One reason, as you know, they had to chain the Bibles. Maybe a copy, say, in church, next to a reading stand, and the manuscript was chained down by a chain motorcycles and bicycles on Park Avenue in New York. Over the centuries, listen to this, consecrated souls knew much of the Bible by heart. And in monastic communities, it was not unusual for the monks and nuns to know, and not just some rare persons, but many knew the New Testament by heart. Frankly, they had to. Pray the Scriptures by quoting in God's presence favorite passages. Over the years, especially the last 5 months, in the many hours where sleep was impossible during the night, prayerfully reciting passages from God's revealed Word. no acts of adoration, of gratitude, of sorrow for sin, and of asking God for what you need. And know that you're using not only your own human language, but the inspired words of the sacred authors. My sixth recommendation. My notes tell me to tell you, if you are so inclined, I recommend jotting down, even daily, I put the adverb in there, even, to make it easier, the insights you receive from God, from your prayerful meditation on, or reflective prayer in using the scriptures. During my own 2-year novitiate, when I entered the Society of Jesus, this was our rule. Made an hour's meditation before Mass each morning, then went to Mass, had breakfast, then at the sign of a bell, for 15 minutes after breakfast, jotted down the insights the same Holy Spirit gave us, who inspired the Scriptures. All I can tell you is that I would not be here speaking to you now unless, thank God, over the years, what I'm recommending to you, I have been doing myself. You're almost finished, but not quite. I thought I would end with a short quotation from the Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena. Here's what she says in context. This is our Lord speaking to Catherine and complaining about those who read the scriptures indeed, but frankly, seem to get nothing out of them. Christ has an explanation. Catherine records the recommendation. Let me show you, Christ tells Catherine, how dark these people are. Holy Scripture of itself is light, but so many of my chosen ones, especially priests and religious, draw from it with a supernatural light, from me the true light, provided they read the scriptures properly disposed. Christ goes on, complaining about those who read the scriptures Oh, they may know them by heart. They may be biblical exegetes. But these wretches, Christ calls them, neither see nor understand anything but the outer shell, the letter of sacred scripture. Why? Because of their bloated pride and lust. Oh, no one but a mystic would dare write those words as she believed, under divine illumination. These people, who are either proud or lustful, read the scriptures and get nothing from them. Why? Because their spiritual taste is disordered, corrupted even by selfish love and pride. We close our first conference. During this retreat, I trust I will share with you some useful insights on how to profit from sacred scriptures in the spiritual life. But underlying everything we say and implied in every recommendation we make is this presupposition. Sure, the Bible is God's revealed word. Sure, it is the Holy Spirit speaking. But we shall benefit from the light he sheds and derive the strength he offers only if we use Holy Writ properly disposed. It may be the last recommendation you would expect me to make, and of myself I doubt if I would have made it, at least not in these words. The only ones who derive the benefit that God intends to give us to his inspired word are those who are truly humble and chaste. Chaste in body, humble in spirit. Oh, dear Lord, what treasure is hidden to the chaste and humble of heart in your revealed wisdom. Dear Savior, give us the grace to use the scriptures properly disposed. Teach us, dear Jesus, that only the chaste and the humble on earth will learn your secrets, and only they in eternity will enjoy your presence. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.